Dad, I have a question. How does the pricing of airline tickets work? Hi, everybody. It's spring break. I'm Luke.
I'm Spencer.
And on today's episode of Dad, I Have a Question, we're going to be talking about airline prices and how they're different or not for different people. I mean, go ahead.
So, what made you think of this question, Luke?
Well, we were on a plane yesterday, and I was wondering if the prices were the same for airline tickets if you're sitting in an equivalent spot to someone else on the plane. So if you were both in like a certain class of the plane, like sitting next to another person, would your airline ticket be the same as theirs or different?
It's a good question. So usually the same product costs the same thing regardless of who you are or where you buy it. So like if you buy like, I don't know, if you walked into a store and bought a pack of M&Ms and I walked in the same store and bought a pack of M&Ms, it would cost the same thing, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But airline tickets are actually a little bit different, very different. And the answer is that the prices are all over the map. They're very different.
Don't stop listening now. Keep listening. There's more information, everybody.
So the first thing I'd say is think back to the episode that we learned about pricing, right? What was that episode called?
Supply and demand.
Exactly, supply and demand. So one of the first things that determines airline pricing is supply and demand. So for airline tickets, tell me what you think about supply.
Well, the supply is set because they can't make any more airplanes.
Exactly.
They can only have less people.
Exactly.
But the demand is high because a lot of people have to get on a plane, which changes the equilibrium of the pricing. And if you don't understand that, you can refer to our supply and demand episode.
That was all really well said. So the supply is fixed. Let's say from LA to Seattle, let's say there are 200 seats and there are 5 flights a day. So there are how many seats from LA to Seattle every day? 200 seats, 5 flights.
Right.
1,000. Okay.
Yeah.
So there are 1,000.
500, because 5 times 200 is
1,000. Is 1,000, exactly. So there's just 1,000 seats from LA to Seattle on that particular day. And so if demand is very high, if a lot of people want to go to on that day, then airlines increase price. And if demand is low,
then less people would want to get on it because it's too expensive, so the demand would go down, and then they would have the right amount of supply.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the first principle, is that supply and demand, supply is fixed, and as demand increases, airlines increase the price, and as demand decreases, airlines decrease the price.
But, go ahead.
Okay, so actually, quick, interesting story on this. The other day, I'm booking a trip to Panama in Central America with 10 friends. And we were all emailing each other and we're like, okay, we chose the flights. And I was like, okay, it's, you know, it was like $800 per person or something like that. And the first person bought it and he replied to everyone. He's like, okay, I bought it. Great. Next person bought it, $800. Great. The next person got ready to buy it. And he's like, oh, wait, it's $900 now. And that's weird. I'll buy it. So he bought it and he replied, oh, he's like, okay, it's $900. By the time the 10th person of the trip bought it, it was $1,400.
Wow.
So what was happening during this, literally over the course of 2 hours, as each of the friends were booking,
more people got on the plane.
Well, so what was the airline's computer systems were doing what? They were sensing that.
They were calculating that more people were going to go on the plane.
Exactly. They were calculating that demand was going up, so they increased their price because they're like, wow, I don't know why, but a lot of people want to go to Panama. Let's increase the price in order to make more money. And so in that case, the person that bought first was at advantage. The person that bought last ended up paying a lot more.
But
so there's a pro tip for you. If you're going on a group trip, always be the first person to buy. Okay.
But does that mean that if you were to book it at the same time as me and we were sitting together, our prices would be the same?
Okay, so that's the next point.
Unless it was like you clicked yes and then 10 people got on.
So it depends a lot on some other criteria. So the first overarching principle is that airline ticket prices depend, like all prices, on
supply and demand.
The second principle of airlines in particular is that they try to segment their customers based on whether they are business travelers or leisure travelers. And this is unique to airlines. And what do I mean by that? So
if you're in a store and you're trying to buy something, like, they don't really want to know what you're buying it for.
Exactly. They don't care. They're selling you M&Ms. They don't care if you're going to eat them right away or eat them later or whatever. They just sell you the M&Ms. But for airlines, they try to figure out, is this a business traveler or a leisure traveler? Now, why would they care? Tell me what you think it is about a business traveler. Let's say The business traveler is flying from LA to Seattle.
Maybe it's more necessary for them to get on the plane.
Exactly, exactly. They are basically price indifferent, meaning like they have to get to Seattle for that business meeting. So
they can charge more.
Exactly. So that's exactly right. So airlines can charge more to business travelers than leisure travelers. Because what happens to a leisure traveler if they see that the price is really high?
Nope, too expensive, different trip.
Exactly. In fact, we wanted some friends to come on the trip that we're on right now. And we looked at the airline prices the other day, and the price was really high. And like, oh, well, maybe we'll go some other time. So leisure travelers are more price sensitive. Business travelers are more price insensitive. Therefore, they try to charge different prices. Now, when the airline sells the tickets to you, they don't really know. It'd be easy if they could ask you, like, is this for business or for leisure? But people would lie.
Exactly.
Okay. So what they do is they try to figure out other ways to infer whether you're a business traveler or leisure traveler. What is one way to try to figure out, this might be hard, you might not get this, but let's say, okay, for business trips, do you usually have a lot of advance warning for a business trip, or usually you're like, oh, I have a meeting tomorrow, I gotta go to Seattle like right away?
A little bit of advance
warning? No. Really? Usually business trips kind of pop up like right away. So usually, let me ask the question the other way, think about leisure travelers. When we plan vacations, we tend to plan them. Do we plan them like the next day?
Ahead,
right. So usually you have much more advanced notice for a leisure traveler. So for a leisure.
And if you don't plan it ahead, you should start planning it ahead.
You should. So a second pro tip, plan your vacations ahead of time. And so airlines usually have cutoffs, usually 3 days out, 7 days out, and 21 days out, where the prices go up a lot. So yesterday when you were on the plane and you were sitting next to somebody, that one of the easiest ways to figure out who paid more for the ticket is just to think, when did they buy it? If they bought it yesterday, you know, 2 days ago, they probably paid a lot more. If they bought it like 6 months ago, they probably paid a lot less.
So they can figure out if you're a business traveler by when you book the ticket.
Yes, that's one way. But there are other ways. When do most business meetings happen? Like what days of the week?
Weekdays,
exactly.
During the day.
Exactly. So there's another thing that airlines do that they give cheaper.
And probably even over times like spring break, they would maybe even be able to guess that you would be more of a leisure traveler.
Yes.
Because more people travel during those times.
Absolutely, absolutely. So airlines have another restriction, which is typically a Saturday night stay restriction, which means, let's say leisure travelers usually stay over weekends, right? But business travelers, do they usually have stay over weekends? No. Okay.
Oh, so, I figured out another reason that they could. If you're traveling with your family versus traveling by yourself, most likely.
That's true, too. Yes, that's true, too. So let's say you bought a ticket from LA to Seattle on a Wednesday, and you came back the following Wednesday, and you bought that round-trip ticket, and it was a week stay, 7 days. Are you a leisure traveler or a business traveler?
Leisure traveler.
Okay. So that would be a lower price ticket than, let's say, you went up Wednesday and then back Thursday. So now two people sitting on the same flight on Wednesday, sitting right next to each other, but one's return is 7 days later and one's return is only a day later, probably who paid more?
The person who's staying for longer.
Shorter.
But no, because the business traveler stays shorter.
The business traveler, exactly, the shorter stay. Okay, days to departure.
Are they ever wrong?
Yes, absolutely. Days to departure affects pricing and how long the stay is. This is another reason, actually, why one-way tickets are frequently more expensive than round-trip tickets.
You want to talk about that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So who sometimes books one-way tickets? People who are...
Leisure travelers.
No.
Oh, no, business travelers, because they're going...
Because they need more flexibility, because they're not sure what time will that meeting be over.
I'm not sure what the difference between one-way and two...
One-way ticket is L.A. to Seattle, that's it. And a round-trip ticket is L.A. to Seattle, Seattle to L.A. So...
If they went L.A. to Seattle, wouldn't they have to get back?
They do have to get back, but they might book the one-ways separately. So this is interesting.
Oh, that makes sense.
Let's say you booked L.A. to Seattle... As a one ticket, and then Seattle to LA is another ticket.
Which one would be more expensive?
The one ways. Even the one way plus the one way is going to be more expensive than if you booked it as a round trip. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Super weird.
You wanted to talk about that article that you showed.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a hack to save money on airline ticket prices, which is to sometimes not take the full ticket. And what I mean by that is, let's say you were in...
there was a person recently who did this. We're pulling up an article of it right now, actually.
So I'll find the article. This article was about Lufthansa, which is an airline. Lufthansa actually sued one of its passengers for $2,000, which is not a lot of money, but, you know, what you're probably thinking to yourself, why would an airline bother to sue for $2,000?
Yeah, airlines don't. And
the answer is to try to set an example. So here we go. This passenger booked a return flight from Oslo to Seattle, which had a layover in Frankfurt. The passenger used all legs of the outbound flight but did not catch the Frankfurt to Oslo return flight. Instead, he flew on a separate Lufthansa reservation from Frankfurt to Berlin. So it's kind of confusing. I'll use an easier example with American cities so American listeners can follow. So imagine for a second that you're in New York, and you're traveling from New York to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But instead of buying a ticket from New York to San Francisco, you buy a ticket from New York to Seattle with a layover in San Francisco. So it's like a connection.
Right.
You fly New York to San Francisco, San Francisco to Seattle. And when you get to San Francisco, instead of getting on your connecting flight to Seattle, you just stay in San Francisco. So you don't take the second leg of your connection flight. And you probably think, well, that should be allowed, right? You don't have to get on the plane. How can they force you to get on the plane?
Yeah.
But the answer is that, believe it or not, there's fine print on airline tickets that says that that's against the regulations of the airline, that you agree when you buy the ticket to take all legs.
Wouldn't you pay for the layover?
So it's a great question.
Why would that be?
Why would it be cheaper?
To go from New York to the city, to San Francisco.
And it's all about supply and demand.
Instead of New York to San Francisco to LA.
It's all about supply and demand.
Because that's a rarer flight, basically.
Yes.
So there's less demand.
Exactly.
But more supply, so they lower the prices.
Exactly. Which kind of takes us to another interesting part about airline prices, which is called hub and spoke, which is that, have you ever noticed that a lot of flights go through big cities, like through Denver to everywhere?
Yeah.
Or Atlanta
not
to everywhere.
Not some random city.
Yeah, so airlines do that to manage kind of passenger flow better. They connect through those major cities, and they call that hub and spoke.
Because then more people want to go on the planes.
Yes. Okay, last topic that's related to this, which is price wars and web fares. So price wars are kind of interesting. Let's take the example of LA to Seattle. How many airlines do you think fly from LA to Seattle?
Three or four.
Yeah, so like, you know, I fly usually Alaska Airlines or United Airlines or Southwest Airlines are the three major airlines that fly LA to Seattle. They all have about the same price for those tickets. But what happens, let's say they're all $300. Let's say one of those two airlines increases their price, they double the price to $600.
Then you would go with one of the $300 airlines.
Exactly.
Oh, but then one of them would lower their prices and then everybody would go on it and they wouldn't go on the other ones?
Yes, but then maybe they increase the price to match the guy that increased, right? Because the airlines all want to increase their prices as much as possible. Why?
Because then they'll make more money.
Exactly. So one of them might increase price and then the other two might match. And so now they've all increased their price to $600 and maybe a day or two later, one of them is like, you know what, we're going to decrease our price to $500 to try to, why would they do that?
To make more people go with it.
Exactly. Originally, they increased and everybody followed to the higher price, and then somebody breaks ranks and lowers price to steal customers away. So these pricing moves that the airlines make, they are usually matched, and they kind of hold for a couple days, and then one of the airlines breaks ranks and lowers price. And every once in a while, you'll see in the newspaper, I'll show you next time this happens, that airlines get in trouble with the government for basically trying to coordinate price increases. So like they'll give a speech at a conference, some airline executive will be like, it looks like there's a lot of demand from LA to Seattle, so we might increase prices there. Why is that such a problem if they announce that?
Well, if they increase prices, then everyone else is going to increase their prices, and then it's too expensive for people to go there, and the economy shrinks.
Okay.
Kind of.
So that it's sort of like an antitrust issue, basically. It's like when companies get together and increase prices altogether.
The government doesn't like it.
The government does not like that.
Things are too expensive.
Exactly. So anyway, you'll see airlines get fined.
And then there's de-inflation.
Well, let's not.
Reverse inflation.
So airlines basically get in trouble with the government when they do these coordinated price increases. So.
No, it's just inflation. Things get more expensive. That's inflation.
That's true. All right. Anyway, so let's wrap up. What's the deal with airline prices?
Basically, airline ticket prices are different for everyone else depending on many different things, whether it's where you're going, the supply and demand for that, whether you're a business traveler, or whether you're a traveler for leisure, and computers just like basically figure out all of those things based on how you're flying that flight. And there are a couple ways to help get cheaper airline ticket prices, but that's how they work. And keep tweeting suggestions for podcast episodes.
Thanks, everybody. See you, Luke. Happy spring break.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
One more thing, actually.
So we just remembered one more thing after we ended the episode. So I started a company called Hotwire, which is all about, what's Hotwire about?
Booking airline tickets.
Exactly. Selling cheap airline tickets. And so one of the main ways that Hotwire has cheaper airline tickets than other airlines is by helping the airlines segment their customers based on price sensitive and price insensitive. And so the one thing that Hotwire does is when you book a ticket on Hotwire, it shows you the price. It says LA to Seattle, $300. But it doesn't show you what time the plane leaves. It just says what day it leaves. And so let's say it says next Wednesday, it's $300. And if you hit purchase, then afterwards, it tells you it's at 6 p.m. and Delta Airlines, et cetera. So why do you think, tell me what you think about that. Why would, what's the point of that?
It can help separate different travelers.
Exactly. Why? Who's okay not knowing the departure time until after you hit purchase? Type of person?
Leisure travelers.
Leisure travelers, right? Can a business traveler do that?
No.
Why?
Because it could leave too earlier to
them. Yeah, they might miss their business meeting. Exactly. So that's what they call an airline revenue management speak. They call that a fence. That's a great example of a fence that airlines set up through companies like Hotwire to sell cheap airline tickets. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Now.